we've been talking about the different maturity levels, a term that keeps coming up is love bonds or fear bonds. And as we're discussing trouble, we seem to talk about fear bonds more than we do about the love bonds. We want to take a minute to make sure that everyone understands what that's about. It is possible when you're in a relationship with someone to have ties between you that are based on the love and the concern and all the positive and life-giving and joy-giving things that God designed into relationships. It has been very interesting for us to be learning how much the relationships really are what builds your personal identity, and your personal identity shared is what builds the relationships. So I'm just going to give a couple of the characteristics back and forth, what a love bond might look like versus what a fear bond would look like. So please jump in anywhere to add anything you'd like to do. A relationship that's based in love has a lot more of the elements of truth and closeness and intimacy and that joy we were talking about before, a sense of peace, perseverance, and there is true joyful giving back and forth in that kind of a relationship. If the relationship is more based on fear, there is a lot more pain and humiliation, a lot of shame and guilt, fears of rejection and abandonment, or something bad is going to happen if I don't perform properly. That's what I think of when I think of fear bonds in general. I think of a performance-driven kind of a relationship.
And the truth in the relationship is really important, because we know as we're maturing, as we're seeking to mature, people in our community, our friends, our trusted ones, we need to be able to receive the feedback from those people, because if it's a love bond, those people are going to be giving us that feedback with the intent purpose for our good. Whereas if it's a fear bond, I would see that person giving me that feedback as that shaming, condemnation, that fear, that everything that you just read describes a fear bond.
Or what I might have experienced in other relationships. People who've said they love me and they care about me, but there's also a lot of shame and guilt and punishment and that sort of thing going on at the same time. So of course there's going to be a testing. All the while you're hearing love bonds versus fear bonds, and we're talking about it in community, keep in mind that these same love and fear bonds can relate to our relationship with our God.
Yes.
And it
yes.
will definitely have a bearing on our prayer life and how we relate to Him. The second aspect of a love bond versus a fear bond is that the love bond is desire-driven. I want to grow close to you and be connected to you because I like being around you. Versus somebody who has a bond being, I better be around you because at least I can keep track of what you're doing so that I know what I have to do to protect myself. So I'm bonding with that person to avoid pain. That's what I'm trying to do. If you have a love bond, it tends to grow stronger both as you're close to the person and if you're spending time away from that person. So there's both a desire to get to know them better, but also the ability to keep that thought of who they are in your mind, in your heart, even when they're not right next to you.
As well as even through difficult situations.
Yes. And over time. Yes. Fear bonds only grow stronger by moving closer or by moving farther away. And I think a lot of people in our community in these last few years have talked about that. If I get to know you better, then that means you'll get to know me better. And what if you don't like what you see? Or what if I don't like what I see in you? Then what will we do? And then I'll be stuck again.
Yeah, and going just back with our relationship with God, that's important too, that because there are those times, those quiet times, when we don't hear from Him, and we need to have that love bond basis there to help us get through those times, because when He is silent and we're not hearing Him, and we need to have that foundation established there through the love bond, so our faith is not crushed.
Yes, very good. In our relationships, if we have to sort of be in fear that we're performing correctly, we do tend to get a little bit manipulative, and we want to try to set up the situation so that things come out the way we think they ought to come out. And if we start trying to treat our God in that way, that represents a problem too, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Well, a love bond and relationship is a kind of a relationship where you can talk both about positive things and about negative things. It's not the sort of thing where you have to be so careful about what you say. You're not able to share both positive and negative if you're in a fear bond. If I say something negative, either I'm going to jeopardize the relationship Or I might need to say negative things because that's the quality that the relationship has. Everything in it is negative. We complain together. We whine together. We magnify our problems. We feel like victims together. That would be a fear bond kind of relationship.
We enable each other. In the wrong way.
Right. Mm-hmm. In a love bond situation, both parties benefit. And I think we've used the term before, too, that we're encouraged and encourage one another to act like ourselves, to actually be who Yeshua has made us to be. On the other hand, if you are in a relationship where fear is the main factor, it really keeps you from being who you really are because you're so focused on trying to know what that other person wants to keep them happy and placate them or keep them from getting angry and blowing up at you. So it does automatically lead then to the understanding that a fear bond means there's going to be a lot of deceit and a lot of pretending in the relationship. I can't be truthful and have that as a basic understanding of my relationship because I have to pretend so that you don't really get to know.
And people who operate out of fear believe that everyone else is acting that same way, so they don't trust anything that anybody does.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
People operate.
Mm-hmm. And this is part of the testing process that we've all experienced as we've been getting to know one another in community. And I think it's probably fair to say that we test God as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love bonds should be growing and maturing people, equipping them to grow up into everything that Messiah has intended for them to be. Fear bonds, on the other hand, keep people from finding out who they really are, and they restrict your growth. Because you're just trying to please the other person. Love bonds operate from the front of the brain, the joy center, and they govern how do I act like myself, versus the fear bonds operating from the back of the brain, and they're more involved with how do I get what I want. Now, this is something that we spent a little bit of time on earlier, but we have really come to understand that there's so much pertaining to brain chemistry and the quality of the relationships in our early years that actually do still have very strong bearing on what our relationships are like now as adults. And this has only been about the last 10 years that we've really been aware that the quality of the relationships actually changes the shape and the structure of the brain. The exciting thing is that as we are in those joyful and love-giving relationships, the very quality of the relationship and the eye contact and the joy literally develops the structures of the brain that might have been missing. And it's just so exciting because it does help people to understand, too, that we can't just automatically decide, oh, I need to behave better, or why doesn't that person just shape up more quickly? It's a whole process, and it has to have the quality and strength and the joy of the relationship, just as Yahweh Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a creator. He has given us this kind of creative potential in ourselves and in our relationships with one another. And we've talked about, you know, encouraging one another. I have. My mm-hmm. church family always did. But I never had a clue before that literally smiling at someone and letting them know that you enjoy being with them mm-hmm. literally grows the strength of their identity in their brain and allows them to behave more like Jesus of Nazareth designed them to be.
And that's why community is so important, because a person cannot grow that center of the brain without having at least one other person there.
Yes.
Right.
A joy-giving person, a person with whom they have love bonds. And we've talked about the maturity aspect that most relationships probably have a few of both. And it's mm-hmm. not likely that every relationship is going to have only love bonds or only fear bonds. And that gets confusing, too, because we would rather it was just black and white. So then we could decide these people are the unsafe people. We should never have anything to do with them. And these are the people who are safe, and we should always have something to do with them. And we're just not quite that clear cut.
Well, that's going to tie in with our maturity level, too, because our maturing isn't 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. They overlap with each other.
I've arrived?
Yeah, we continually have those gaps. We think, oh, I'm doing well. Oh, here's another spot that I have to go back and look
mm-hmm.
at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is important, too, because a lot of people get threatened and kind of nervous when we're talking about maturity and afraid that somebody is going to judge me. And we've mentioned that, that is not at all what this is about. It's for a self-assessment and a spiritual discipline process. But it is kind of unnerving if you actually are a person who has grandchildren, shall we say, and then when you begin to actually evaluate your own maturity in light of this information and the different tasks, and you find out that you've got big holes and gaps in various tasks that you should have learned at an earlier age, but you really didn't learn them yet. And then now what? Do I want other people to know that I have gaps?
And it's so hard when, as we help each other to see where we're at, you know, to help encourage one another, sometimes it's like, well, no, are you acting out of like a child stage of maturity right now? And I know for me, I would get very defensive about that kind of thing. Like, what? Oh, yeah, you're so much more mature than me, and now I'm just being a child, right? Well, that response in itself kind of puts me there, doesn't it? But to come to that realization that we all can have, no matter at what stage of maturity we're at, we can still have, like you said, holes in our maturity levels and in areas in our life where all of a sudden we're back in that spot again. We're back in that child level or the infant level of maturity. And it's not for someone to point that out to me, like, you know, this seems to me like you're kind of acting in, you know, that child level or infant level. It's so hard for me not to get all defensive. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, thanks, you know. To understand that, oh, so there's a hole there, that there's something there that needs to be looked at, prayed about, worked through, and not feel like I'm being judged.
Right. This is not about condemnation.
Right. Right.
This is about pulling up.
Yes.
And as you were just saying about the fear and the love bonds, yeah, it's the fear that'll say, oh, you're just judging me. And to get from that fear to the love, to trust that you are saying these things because you love me and not because you want to judge me and not because you're just trying to be more superior to me or anything like that.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what our background is. The fact is we live in a fallen world.
Yes.
And Satan is the prince of this world, and no matter what family we grew up in, they cannot provide everything for us, and we are going to have those gaps in our maturity.
Right. Yep. And it's not necessarily my fault that I have a hole, a task that didn't get completed, say in my infant level or my child level. It's not necessarily my fault, because if my parents perhaps had the same type of hole, how would they know how to make sure that I could complete that task that needed to be done? Or if there was abuse, there's two types of abuse that we know. There is the absence of something that was good that should have happened and it didn't happen, or something bad happened when it shouldn't have. If there's that type of a situation going on, it's very understandable why these personal tasks were not completed. So it's understandable why anyone, everyone, can and most likely does have holes at somewhere within that maturity level.
And this is where it's important to have a community that does value being honest and truthful and having intimacy, because if any one of us shows this kind of vulnerabilities in a community or maybe a work setting or a family where people are just ready to pounce on you, you know, you become vulnerable and you will be hurt. And so we're not talking about just indiscriminately, what was the phrase from the 70s? Let it all hang out. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to take an honest and personal evaluation of where we are emotionally, psychologically, physically, developmentally, and spiritually. Because it is so important, because we have been called to be set apart, to learn more about who our Messiah is, and to grow up in every way into Him. So we want to take this as seriously as we can.